Welcome back to another segment of WEEM Weekly. I'm Sophia Bevan, your host, and I'm joined by
Mr. Samson Unkler.
And we are going to be talking about the ASL Club today. So can you give us a quick introduction to what it is?
Oh, absolutely. American Sign Language ASL is the club that was started by students last year. There are a few students who expressed a lot of interest in learning what American Sign Language is and how to speak it, for lack of better words. And luckily, I was born with deaf parents, so sign language is my first language. And unfortunately, my mom passed away 13 years ago, and she was the one who taught me sign language and who I conversed with regularly through sign. So I was kind of out of practice, and I kind of felt like I was losing a little bit of my own heritage, for lack of better words. So instead of actively doing something about it, I kind of sat and felt bad for myself. And then some students came up and said, we would love to learn. I was like, well, light bulb, you know, let's get a club going. And lo and behold, here we are in year number two, and it's growing. Yeah. And it's just been one of those fun things where we learn sign language together. We practice sign language together. I am very adamant in making sure that everybody knows I'm not teaching sign language. I'm not certified to do so, yeah. Nor will I claim to be. But we are using resources and working on getting guest speakers and other CODAs, children of deaf adults that are familiar with, and students who are fluent in sign language are getting involved. They're all coming out of the woodwork. It's been kind of been an explosive, fun club.
Yeah, that's really awesome that how quickly, even though it's been your second, you said
yeah,
you just
started
second year.
Second year, yeah.
Sorry, this big. What do you hope that students take away with them?
First and foremost, the big thing that we always discuss is the culture. The culture of the language and of the deaf community. It's more than just knowing the signs. It's understanding how this is a beautiful language in its own right. It's not an exact translation of how we speak. You know, it is its own language with nuances and syntax and certain ways and how certain things should be signed. But more importantly, it's just the students are understanding and appreciating the value of learning a language like American Sign Language and in getting involved with members of the community that they interact with daily. A lot of these students who were interested in starting, they work in public spaces, like grocery stores or restaurants where they have frequent customers that are deaf, and they want to do more than just write notes back and forth. And I think that's just that innovation, that sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? What's that word? I just went blank. The go get 'em attitude, I guess, you know, like taking.
I know what you mean, but.
Yeah, the incentive. Incentive. taking the incentive to learn the language and to bridge that gap, you know, and because they feel connected to these people in the community already and they care enough about the community that they're in, which I think is a testimony to a lot of the students in this building. They just really are good people that really reach out and want to be involved in every way, shape, and form. And so instead of sitting back and waiting for something good to happen, they're being proactive about it and making it happen on their terms, which I really like.
What is your approach to helping these kids learn ASL? Because I know you mentioned that some people are a little bit more experienced than others, mm-hmm. and some are just coming in not knowing anything.
A lot of repetition, mm-hmm. a lot of slow and steady. And we start every meeting with the same way. We flash lights on and off. At first, they're like, why are you flashing the lights? It's like, how do you know, or how would a deaf person know if we said, hey, the meeting's getting ready to get started? You know, so we're not going to just pretend that we know what it's like to be a deaf person. We're going to go through and do the things that deaf people do. We play silent board games where we're not allowed to talk. We can only sign. We practice daily conversation. We practice our alphabets and our numbers. And we just practice and practice and practice. And of course, the students want to know more about the not so appropriate signs right away and like with any language. And we avoid that as much as possible, but there is the internet, so they find it pretty quickly. But we are just really enjoying the whole daily interaction. Like, how would you say this? How would you in this situation? And sometimes we have what if moments, you know, like those uncomfortable situations where what happens if this, what if this deaf person doesn't want to speak to me and they walk away? It's like, well, let's discuss that. Like, what are some possibilities that are for that? And that's where I think it'll be important getting some deaf members of our community to come in and actually work and talk with our students as well. And that's one of our big term goals that we're working on.
Yeah. I know you mentioned some board game and stuff. What other types of activities do you guys do?
We had a silent restaurant, a mock restaurant, if you will, where it was a reason to have baked goods and a food day in the club. but everybody brought something to serve, and you had to go up and order it from the line of food on the table. So there was a line of servers and a line of customers, and the customers had to go up and, "I would like to please have," and they would sign like, "I would like to please have a cookie or a cake or something along the line." And not only did we have to sign it, but also understand what's being signed to us and then serve the right item. And we were not allowed to point like, "I want that," you know, or like, that's too easy, of course.
Right.
You know? So things like that, where they were kind of put in situations, you know, to kind of discuss. Around Christmas, we learned how to sign Silent Night, you know, and we sang a Christmas carol to ourselves. all 12 of us sat and listened to a really bad rendition of Silent Night and signed the whole thing. It was kind of fun.
Wonderful. What types of hours do you guys meet after school and stuff?
We meet every Thursday from 2, we usually start around 2:35, 2:40 after the second bus round clears out. And we go until 3:30, unless something bigger is happening. We're working on doing some outdoor events. You know, maybe we'll do some weekend meetups where picnic in the park or like an event at Twister's where we have to go in and have a silent, you know, meeting. That'll come later in the spring when we've had enough practice and feel comfortable. But usually it's every week until 3:30, unless there's something that comes up. Sometimes we have to cut it early at 3, but usually we try to meet regularly.
Why, if just say you're trying to tell someone, you're trying to convince them to join ASL Club, what would you say to them?
Do you want to learn the coolest language in the world? You know, like it's a beautiful language. I think that helps you understand how to express yourself, because it's not just a language with our hands. It's our language with our body. Your body language speaks everything. And it's the psychological response of reading somebody's body language. I think it makes you a little bit more in tune of, you know, that phrase, reading the room, like, am I being funny right now, or am I making somebody mad? You know, like, and I think learning sign language, once you get comfortable enough with the signs, your body starts to relax and you start to really emphasize what you're trying to say rather than just go through the motions of the sign. And I think for those who become fluent, we'll see that very, very quickly and kind of hopefully enjoy and embrace the ability to read people, for lack of better words.
How can somebody join the club? What is the process?
There are portals online. If you go to the school website, click on Student Life and click on Clubs. Look for ASL Club and click the link, sign the form, and you're in.
Oh, pretty simple.
Pretty simple.
Are there any last things you'd like to say for people interested? Or
the more the merrier. We are taking people of all ages and all abilities to learn sign, and it is a very important language, in my opinion. I am very biased, mind you, though. but I think it's just a valuable part of learning how to communicate clearly. And if you've ever been in a situation where you need to text that friend across the room, but their phone's dead and you can't, but if you know sign, right, you can completely talk to them across the room without any use of technology. but all in all, it's just a fun group. We have a lot of fun and we all learn a lot of things together. Some a little bit quicker than others. Some things are fun to learn and some things are hard, but we're all learning it together. So, and it's a no pressure, at your own pace sort of enjoyment of learning a new language.
Thank you so much for joining me. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for coming here and speaking with me about this, Mr. Hunter.
Oh, absolutely. It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah. We'll get back to you guys in the next segment here on 91.7 WEEM.
I really wish I could listen to 91.7 WEEM right now, but I'm not in my car.
Don't worry. We have an app. Download 91.7 WEEM on Android and iOS.
All you need to do is go to the App Store, type in the search 91.7 WEEM, and then hit download.
It's free. Now you can listen to Best Hits on your phone.
Welcome back to 91.7 WEEM. I'm your host, Logan Romine, and I'm joined by
Mr. Jones, Dean of Students.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to be talking about the new door, the new front door here at the school. Mm-hmm. So kicking things off, what was the thought process behind renovating like the front door and the front office?
Yeah, so the official name of that is called a vestibule. And so if you've gone to other schools, big event centers, things like that, it kind of serves as a holding tank to make sure people who are visiting the school are supposed to be there. And if there's any safety concerns, it keeps the safety concerns out of the school so people can't freely roam into the school. The original school's design is very 1970s, like walk in. Nothing was making people go to the office to get checked in and officially by Officer Baker. And so that helps with that process.
So how long has this been like planned for? Like, is this a long time coming thing or is it like recent?
Yeah. It was something that's been discussed a lot, allocating the funds for it, cause it's a major overhaul project wise. And plus too, the office has been the same ever since I think the building was constructed. So modern times kind of requires or demands some updates, and that's where that was driven. It was always a topic of conversation, and we're just very happy to have it and help promote the safety of our staff and students.
Mm-hmm. So I haven't personally been able to come in there because I usually come in through the athletic doors. But with the new front door entrance, I know you talked about how it like forces people to check in with Officer Baker. Is there any like changes to like the flow of the office now that there's like a whole new system in there?
Yeah, that's a great question. So for students, they will buzz in through the PA doorbell system on the wall, and then Mrs. Anderson or Officer Baker will let them in. And then once they're in the vestibule, they'll stand by the door, and electronic lock allows them to go in the office. Now, if you're a student, you're to keep going, and you're to turn right round to the attendance office to check in for the day. If you're a parent, guardian, worker, visitor, they'll stop in the office, check in through the iPad to get a printed visitor badge, and then they're welcomed into the building. So basically supporting that they're supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that this new front entrance improves like overall efficiency of like how people get in and out of the school?
It's kind of a learning curve right now, because I know a lot of the seniors and juniors are used to kind of the old method, like walking through the actual office, but instead of walking around, and just the walking around just cleans it all up. It makes it to where, you know, students are separated from outside visitors just so that they're safe. Yeah. So once the students kind of get used to that new process, I think probably come spring semester, it'll feel kind of more like normal.
Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming the main goal with like this whole operation was to ensure better student safety. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, overall. Student and staff safety. And also, too, you'll notice just for staff members in general, all the exterior doors, like 2W just got replaced. Mm-hmm. They're getting replaced. They're going to be silver instead of green. It allows our staff to have electronic access to those doors. And also just the security of them overall, because once again, they're 55-year-old doors, and they just it's time for them to be replaced.
Yeah, well, I know because a while ago, 2W had like it like broke basically and had like the chains on it for a while.
Yeah, so. Yeah, we got the arms got snapped on them, so we just want to make sure for school safety, but with fire code that we got that fixed. So they're brand new, working as intended. Just got to get them hooked up to the new system for teachers to access them with their key cards.
Mm-hmm. So I know one of the issues with like the old door systems was students coming in for after school stuff where the doors were locked, where they would be able to just pull on the doors and it would essentially break the latch.
Yeah.
Would you say that's fixed now with this new set of doors?
Yep. So all the new sets of doors has something called a mullion, which is the vertical bar that runs down the middle of the door. It gives another place for the door to be attached. So that weak spot before without that center post was in the middle, but now having that, it helps secure the doors. And it's modern construction. I mean, that's just kind of the comparison. When those doors were installed, that wasn't the norm. And now if you go anywhere, you always will see that center post bar pretty much everywhere you go, stores, schools, colleges, events, centers, all those things. So it helps with the security of them.
Would you say, does the design that's we currently have, is that as close to the original design as like what you guys were thinking, or is there, were there any changes?
Yeah, it's so we, had a company come out and some architects did some drawings to see kind of what it looks like. Mm-hmm. Really, the only difference is just the aesthetics. Mm-hmm. The functionality is exactly what we wanted with that. But there's going to be some aesthetic things you'll notice. Obviously, our glowing pH sign got moved into the office. Mm-hmm. We put some furniture out in the main lobby. That's kind of not after the fact, but just kind of seeing how that flows, how that fits. Kids hang out there after school in the vestibule, which is great. I mean, they play cards and what have you, just, you know, hanging out after school, which is perfectly fine. So it's kind of a nice little gathering space for kids who are waiting for their rides or a practice to happen. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of a nice little bonus feature of that.
Well, I know just the few times I've been in there, it seems like it's been a lot more modern than what the old system was, and just overall a lot more transparent. I mean, I guess it's funny with the glass all around. But.
Yeah, and it's a higher level rated of glass. It's the, and I always forget the name of it. It's like a ballistic glass. So just once again, helping with the safety of the students and the staff. So we're happy to have that in there. It makes the doors a lot heavier, but more secure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So looking at it, how did like the construction on the doors affect like school processing during the time that the construction was happening?
Yeah, so obviously if 2W and 1W, so specifically for the vestibule, we were very fortunate to be over the summer, so we didn't really notice a lot of interruptions in the school day. They started the actual last day, right, once school got out, they started right away. And so to turn that over in 2.5 months is a pretty challenging process, but it got done to where during the school year it can operate as intended. And then the actual physical exterior doors are being done one at a time after school hours. So they're not, you know, there's not open access to the building. Mm-hmm. So you guys will notice that as you see kind of construction crews around, moving out the old doors and putting in the new ones.
Mm-hmm. Would you, did we also do some work on the like roofing around the entrances as well, like over by the athletic and theater entrances?
Yeah, the entire school got a new roof. Once again, just age, you know, we were due. And so hopefully helping with the leaking and things like that. So we had a brand new roof completely, new vestibule, new exterior doors, so a lot of physical changes to the building that are definitely needed, and we're really, really happy with how it turned out. So just tidying it up and finishing it up, and then once it's completed, you know, student drivers will be able to go through the auditorium doors again, so that way you guys don't have to walk around anymore. It's kind of a nice little feature. So we're excited for that to get back to how it was.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming out with me. Once again, I was your host, Logan Romine, and I was joined by
Ryan Jones, Dean of Students.
Thank you.
Thank you, underwriters.
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 I'm Brooklyn Schuyler, and I'm joined by
Brian Arthur.
And we're going to talk a little bit about sales and marketing and really what students can get engaged with as far as, and kind of that whole realm as a whole.
Perfect. Thanks for having me, Brooklyn.
Yeah, of course. So to begin, how long have you been in the sales industry?
Yeah, I'd say in a variety of different capacities and industries, I've been in sales for just under 30 years at this point.
All right. And what, so I know there's a lot of broad in like terms for sales and marketing. What specifically do you do in your job?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. You know, I currently I'm in training for my company, and I train marketers and I train sales reps as well. And it's two different things, but it all goes together. I look at, you know, for wrestling fans out there, marketing and sales is like the ultimate tag team. Right. So I train folks from a marketing lens and a sales lens, and there's a big difference between the two, but again, they work together. So marketing is all about creating the hype around something, right? Promoting things, drawing people to whatever event or item that you're wanting them to consume. And then sales is closing the deal, right? Mm-hmm. Being able to match what you're offering to what the customer needs. So it's a lot of fun because there's a lot that goes into both of those roles. And while they are different, they definitely go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other.
Yeah. And do you feel that like when you're teaching these things, that differentiation gets like harder to kind of separate when you're teaching newer people, or do you feel like that's very set in stone at the beginning?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And communication is key. to your point. So usually salespeople will tell marketing what they're looking for. How do you create more hype to make my job as a salesperson easier? And vice versa. People in marketing will say, hey, we're creating this hype, but our sales aren't what they need to be. Could you do this a little bit different to sell this in a different way? Right. So as long as roles and responsibilities are clearly defined up front, expectations and ways of working defined up front, and that communication is high, I think just with anything with life, Brooklyn, around, it's all comes down to communication. If things break down, it's generally a communication issue, right? And the same with this too, is having clear lines of accountability when it comes to who's doing what within a given initiative, whether that's selling popsicles or selling, you know, ad space for the Super Bowl at, you know, millions of dollars for every 30 seconds.
So is that more specifically what you do, is focus on making that connection and communicating the differences as well as how they work together in the lines of both realms? You're teaching?
No, that's a good point. We're training marketers on how to be better marketers, and we're training salespeople on how to be better salespeople. Two very different skill sets, both very important. Marketer skill sets are generally more on the analytical and creative side. So let me talk a little bit about that. First, on the analytical space, it's understanding, okay, who are the customers that we're targeting with whatever product we have, right? And really analyzing, you know, you're not going to sell a bunch of walkers and hospital beds to a group of people that are young, right? Mm-hmm. Typically that, you know, you're going to be selling that to, you know, assisted living centers and things like that, right? You're not going to go to my age group, which is darn near 50 years old, and try to sell me a bunch of Hollister and American Eagle stuff, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to analyze, marketing is analyzing who your customer segment is and where your efforts are best targeted. Also on the creative side, how do you creatively attract people to whatever you're trying to sell? I made the point earlier with a group I was working with over lunch that when you walk in, even to a given store, the way everything is set up is very intentional. They are setting things up within their store or within their website or within their social media posts to attract you to what they want you to attract to. So if you walk in a store, the things that they are most wanting to sell you are up front. You know, the mannequin is dressed in the clothes they want to sell you. Mm-hmm. The things that maybe they're deprioritizing, or they're, maybe it's less revenue, less volume, are generally going to be toward the back, right? So there's that creative aspect of marketing. So marketing is largely analytics, understanding the customer base, and then creativity. How do we attract people? Sales skills are generally those skills. How do you engage your customer then? How do you ask the right questions to make sure you uncover their need and how your product addresses that need? Sales is also the important part is you need to be the expert on whatever product you're selling, right? To be able to describe it, to say how it's going to help that person address whatever need or issue they're trying to solve for. So a lot of the sales side is sales skills. How do I engage people? How do I ask the right questions? How do I ask for their commitment to buy this? And then product knowledge. Marketing, as I mentioned, is largely analytical as well as creative.
So when you were kind of talking about the two differences, a lot of the core concepts I see personally, like in the real, like in the real world, in businesses that I work for and so on. What's the difference between the kind of smaller concepts that we might see in our personal lives versus it being a like full-time job and being kind of expanded onto a bigger?
Yeah. Everything that you buy, everything, whether it's going across the street to Twisters or taking your car to a certain car wash or going to coffee, whether it's Starbucks or Big B or Fool's Perk, right? Everything you buy has behind it each and every day marketing and sales, everything. So every little thing you do, everything you spend money on has a marketing engine behind it in some way. And those engines can vary in size, but then also a sales approach as well. All the way up to, like I said, big macro, large companies, right? Large companies that are selling, whether it's automobiles or, you know, computer or software systems to large companies. at every end of the spectrum, from buying a energy drink at the gas station all the way up to buying a house. You know, all of that is, there's marketing and sales involved. And that's the beauty of a career in sales and marketing, is that find what you're passionate about first, and then find a way to be in that industry through promoting that thing that you love so much, or selling that thing, whether it's sports, marketing, whether it's music, whether it's video games, all of those things, whatever you're passionate about, there is a marketing and sales opportunity with that.
It sounds like it can also be a really good gateway into things like sports broadcasting. Like, if you are interested in sports and working in that industry, going into sales and learning about the kind of core concepts and like marketing strategies that really pull people in, helps you get a better understanding of whatever that is that you're interested in.
Yeah.
How did you find what specifically you were interested in when it came to sales? How did you find sales to be what you wanted to go into?
Yeah, it found me a little bit. And part of life in general is the connections you make along the way. I'm in my job. I've been in my same, with my same company now for 21 years. And it started with friends that I had in high school, mm-hmm. right? And they connected me to this opportunity. It started from a sales role, then it evolved into marketing, etc. The connections you make each and every day, whether it's friends or people you know, or people that your friends know, all of those things matter as you, you know, seek out your career, your job, and those types of things too. So, I knew that I loved to talk to people. I knew that I loved to help problem solve. And I knew that there are some, I'm in the healthcare industry, there are some huge opportunities to make a big difference and to find a greater purpose when there are people struggling with sicknesses or diseases or otherwise that are affecting their lives or affecting their family members' lives. And to be able to sell something that truly helps people feel better and live happier lives and better lives is something that drives me, you know, every day. So you've got to be passionate about what you're going to sell, right? If you're not, then it's going to be harder. You're going to have less energy around it to sell it. But if you're passionate about, you know, what you're selling and how it can help solve other people's problems or address it, you're going to A, have a lot of fun. You're going to be energized. You're not going to be burnt out. And you're going to be better at what you do.
So was that interest and passion something that has built over time? Or do you feel like you kind of had it all, had such a big fat passion for, already wanting to help people and so on from the beginning, and you've kind of rode that through? Or do you feel like it just keeps growing the more you've
It evolved over time. It's a great, I think I shared with you before we were on that, you know, I came out of college as a teacher, you know, and what I love and still love, and I'm so thankful for the great teachers we have at this high school, is the focus on the learner, right? And the focus on how do we grow and develop others. And I came out with that teaching mentality. I just happened to transition based on a lot of different happenings and relationships that I made along the way with friends and things and opportunities, where I'm still teaching each and every day. It's just teaching in a business environment where I'm understanding the needs of the customer instead of the student, right? Understanding the needs of the student. And then I'm aligning, you know, a particular product or service to help that, you know, customer out, just as a teacher really works to align knowledge and curriculum to help the student out as well. So it's a skill set that I lean on every day. It's a teaching role, just at a corporate level, where again, you're identifying the needs of your particular customer, and then you're aligning your messaging, and you got to be able to talk to people in the sales environment too, right? And to be able to say, hey, here's the attributes and the qualities of my product, and here's how I can I think it will really help you with whatever you're trying to do.
Yeah. And then my final question is, what was something that you do in sales right now or have done in the past that was your favorite thing about it, or really pulled you even further into it than you already were?
Yeah, it's all about relationships for me, you know, whether it's relationships with our customers. When you help people out in that way and you're able to provide a high level of service, so once they buy from you, it doesn't stop there generally. You still make sure, hey, you're happy with whatever I'm selling you, or you're happy with the service, or things are going well, or hey, here's are some ways that I can help you problem solve and those types of things. You develop some pretty strong relationships with your customers. And then with any job, I think, the thing I love the most, and I think this is what I would challenge students, whatever they decide to do, is really enter into a situation where the culture is strong. The culture is everybody working together. I work with an unbelievable team internally with my company that everybody leverages individual strengths, right? We're all different and we celebrate those differences to ultimately have different perspectives on things, but ultimately pull in the same direction. And those internal relationships are something I'm so valuable about. We're at work probably more, unfortunately, than we are with our families sometimes. And when you're doing good work and hard work, but with great people, it's something special.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for just sitting down with me. I really appreciate it. And I really hope that everyone that was interested in sales gets to learn something new and maybe even find a career path through this interview.